going to be good. Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. We're going to spend a few minutes there this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your spirit, for your presence, Lord God, that never changes, is always for us and is always with us. God, the thing is this, your presence is there. Your power is there. Your spirit is there, but we have to tap into it. We have to, God, receive it. You being there doesn't always help us in our walk. When I open my life up and I receive it, my walk is strengthened. Open us up today, God, I pray. Father, I know there's just people tired from holidays and traveling and all the running. Open us up today, God, that we might receive what you desire to speak into our lives. And may we obtain it. May we keep it. May we apply it. So that, Father, we can this year break every chain. Let us break every chain that holds us back. In Jesus' name, amen. It is crazy. It seems like the older I get, the faster the years go. 47 years old, and I hope they don't get faster. We are standing literally in the last Sunday of 2017, and tonight at midnight, the clock turns over. And 2017, whether it has been a good year or a challenging year for you, is history. Look at your neighbor and say, it's history. It's gone. It's past. It's done. It is finished. And much like life, you know, these are all hindsight kind of things. That old saying is hindsight's 2020. And as we stand at the very end of 2017 and we look back at 2017 a little bit this morning, there may be things that you got right. And you celebrate that and thank God we got them right. And there may be some things that, you know what, maybe we didn't get right. Maybe we missed the mark a little bit. There were things and areas in our lives that we need to grow. Well, what I want to do this morning is I'm going to take a couple of minutes and I'm going to talk to you about breaking every chain. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to break every chain. Look at your other neighbor and say, I hope you can break every chain. Because I believe God wants us to move in freedom. I believe that God wants us to end this year and to step into a new year in a new way and in a new excitement. And so there's something exciting about the ending of the year and the starting of a new one. And you may find in your life that there were things that you need to leave in 2017. Hey, in 2017, I got into this or I struggled with this. And as the year ends and the clock tolls, you may want to leave that behind in 2017. So you can say, you know what? That was then, but this is now. You ever had a moment like that? How many of you this morning have some that was then, but this needs to be now things? We need to leave stuff behind. We need to leave stuff into 2017. Things that we look back and you know what? We might even wish we had a do-over. Oh, I missed it, but I wish I had said yes. I wish I had gone. I wish I had stepped out. I wish I had believed God. And you know what? Those are the things that you want to carry. And so the ending of a year feels like it brings closure to it all. But here's the thing. Sometimes feelings can be deceiving. Sometimes we can look at 2017 and say, it's done, it's over, it's gone. 2018 is a fresh new start and a new beginning, but it is important for us to stop and to look and to see what are the things that we want to carry into the new year. What are the things I got right? What are the things that are important? What are the things that are valuable that I discovered in 2017 that as I enter 2018, I want to bring them with me? And what are the things that I need to make sure I leave in 2017? Because if we're not careful, we'll end 2017 and carry over into 2018 some of the things that we ought to leave behind. You with me? Certain mindsets, certain things that I do, certain ways that I handle things, the way I handle people, the way that we approach our marriage, the way that we approach our financing, our children, the way that we approach how we handle stress and how we handle anger and how we handle things. I don't know what's on your list, but you do, and so does God. And there can be carryover in our lives, and there can be things physically, spiritually, that we will carry from this year into the next year if we don't let them go and if we don't find freedom from them. So I believe that God is saying today that He wants to break every chain. Isaiah chapter 52 verse 2 says this, "Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive." Jerusalem was God's chosen city. It had a purpose. It had in it, it had a focus in its life. Zion, as he calls it, was also called the city of God or the people of God. It had multiple names, but it was something of great value. It was something that was important. And in its life, from time to time, Jerusalem, God's people, would lose their way. They would dabble in things they shouldn't have dabbled in. They would get involved in things they shouldn't get involved in. They become careless with the presence of God or careless with the life that they were challenged to live. And they would pick up their feet and drift a little bit and sometimes end up places they didn't think they were going to end up. They would serve other things. They would get conquered because they weren't following the ways of the Lord. But God never gave up on her. God never took back the purpose, and God never took back His promise over Jerusalem. And so He tells her, shake off the dust. As I was writing this, this is a thought I had. Dust settles when there is no movement. Dust settles when there is no movement. And so dust settles when you stopped thinking something can change. When you stopped believing that something can be different. When you stopped working towards God's purpose in that area. Because you don't see how it can happen and how it can come into being. And so there can be in our minds lives that settle. You might be here this morning and you know what? In your marriage, not that it's bad. It's not what you hope. It's not what you think it could be. But you stopped reaching for it and you've settled. In your finance, you say, hey, you know, we do okay. We're not check to check. We've got some savings. It's not that it's bad. It's not exactly what you want it to be, but you don't do anything really differently about it. You have settled. With your single life or your job, we settle, and so does the dust. And we haven't moved because sometimes we feel trapped. We feel caught. We feel stuck. It's out of my hands. There's nothing I can do, Pastor. I tried to be a better husband, and you know, you said you can't change them, and so live, you know, love them the way God tells you to love them, no matter whether you're getting it back or not. You just love them. You be obedient, and I've done that, and nothing's changing. It just is the way it is. And you feel caught. You feel trapped. You feel like there is a chain that holds your marriage in place so that it can't really get better. Maybe your finances, maybe your kids, maybe your dreams, your goals. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is, and you know what it is. You haven't moved, and you've tried. And can you imagine what the people of Jerusalem must have thought when they're hearing this from Isaiah? Oh, yeah, rise up, shake. Okay, right. Here's a thought, God. Maybe if we could just rise up, we would have risen up and not have been conquered. They beat us. They were stronger than us. They came in and did what we couldn't do to them. And so that's where we are. They're stronger than us. We are under their control. We can't rise up. If we were strong enough, this would have already been done. So let's just make a way. Let's just adjust to live and settle into this new way of living. And all of a sudden this verse from Isaiah 52:2 shows up, and God calls them Zion, God's city, the center of Jewish worship. He identifies it as something other than the way it sees itself. Isn't that good? God shows up and calls Jerusalem Zion. And He sees it differently than Jerusalem sees itself. You hear something like this in the Old Testament when Gideon, he's out at night, he's hiding in the wine press, threshing wheat, and an angel of the Lord appears and says, "Hello, mighty warrior." And Gideon's like, "What are you talking about? I'm not a mighty warrior. It is dark. Everyone else is asleep. I am hiding out in the thresh room, threshing wheat, praying to God I don't get caught. I am anything but a mighty warrior. Well, here's the thing. God sees you differently than you may see yourself. And God shows up and He speaks to you the way that He sees you, not always the way that you identify yourself. Jerusalem had been taken, but God challenges them to free themselves from the chains on their neck. He speaks value to her. He calls her daughter Zion. These were people living captured and covered in the dust of defeat. But God says, I see you differently than you're living or you see yourself. And He speaks to her current state and He says, now a captive. I'm going to read you that again. Listen to it. Shake off your dust. Rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. So God sees how He sees them, but He also sees their current state. And I want you to know, God sees your current state too. When the dust settles, we can be free. We can be free. All right. He calls her. He says, now a captive. Now, I don't believe that God shows up and makes the small areas of our lives that we struggle. God sees clearly where we are, what we wrestle with, and the things that have chained our minds and the things that have chained our hearts. God sees what's holding your marriage in place. God sees what's holding your finances in place. God sees the things in your life that have got you kind of cornered. You're like Chevy Chase in one of those family vacation movies. Remember, so he went to Europe and he got in a circle and he's just driving around the circle and he's just going around and around and around. Some of us feel like that in life. I'm going, I'm trying to do what I can. I'm trying to get out. I ran into one of those in Guadalajara, Mexico. I'll never forget it. We landed, the missionary Ernie Peacock comes to me. He says, hey, Wes, listen, they've got good things, great things planned for the week. We have one little hiccup. And I'm thinking, okay, what's a hiccup? He goes, well, our bus driver just quit. So I rented vans and I need you to drive in Mexico. And I said, why not? You know? And so he said, if I go, you go. And he told me this. He said, listen, he who hesitates is lost. And that was my mantra for the week. And they had a lot of circles in Guadalajara. And you would just come up. And there's cars going. And I just, you know. And you just, cars would stop and you'd get in and you'd go. But, you know, he who hesitates is lost. All right. You got to remember that. Sometimes God says, go. God says, get. God says, it's time to move. And we go, oh, but I don't know. I'm unsure. I don't know how to do it. God says, follow me. Stay with me. Because if you don't walk with me, you're going to end up with dust settling in your life. You're going to end up chained to something that's going to hold you back and keep you back and keep you from experiencing what I have for you and what I've created for you. God has given us liberty to live and a life to live full of His power and full of His Spirit. So I think you got to understand this morning. One, God may see you differently than you see yourself, and God is aware of your current state. You might be here today and you're hurt, you're wounded. God is aware of your current state. You might be wondering, why is God calling me to step out? Why is God calling me to believe? Why is God calling me to teach or to give or to serve or to go or to forgive? Doesn't He see where I'm at? Well, here's the thing. God sees you differently than you see you. And God speaks value to your life. He says, I see you're a captive now, but guess what, daughter Zion? Presence of God, people of God. Hallelujah. That ought to be awesome, this man. Y'all ought to be excited about that. Thank God He sees us differently than we see ourselves. God knows your current state. And I'm saying that I believe that there are sons and daughters of the King this morning who might be living below their calling because of chains that have held you back, because of areas in your life where you've stopped believing for what God said, and dust has settled. God says, shake off the dust. Shake off the dust. You don't see something the way God sees it. You're living caught. You're living trapped. You're living stuck. You're living chained. You've adjusted. You've created or are creating a new normal. You've settled, and so has the dust. And so I'm not talking about never being content. What I'm talking about is writing off areas of our lives as, well, it just is what it is. She just is that way. My husband just is that way. This is just the way our kids are. It's just the way my boss is. It's just the way our finances are. It's just the way it is. And we write it off as that, where God sees it differently than we see it. You've got to understand, God has more. When it isn't in alignment with God's word or His spoken word over our life, and we accept it and adjust to it, the dust is settling. This year in 2017, we may have taken up some chains. We may have taken up mindsets about marriage or finances or about our life as a single or a student, about a situation in our life, and you've had the promise of God that you've settled. Well, it can't be like that. It's not going to happen. Or if only, if they hadn't said that, if they hadn't done that, if they hadn't wounded me, if they hadn't this and they hadn't that, and the dust settles, and God says, shake that off. You see, we all want broken chains, but we don't all want to shake off the dust. We want our marriages to be amazing, but we don't do anything to grow it there. Listen, what are you doing different than you've done before? Nothing? And the dust is settling. We want our finances to be better, but we haven't changed the way that we spend or what we spend on. Listen, can I tell you a secret? If you think the answer to your financial issues is always more instead of stewardship, you've let the dust settle. The studies have shown when you get more, you spend more. The key to finances is the attitude of the heart, first and foremost. They did a study once that people who made $50,000 said if we made $70,000, we'd be happy. They asked people who made $70,000. People who made $70,000 said, man, if we made $100,000, we'd be happy. And they asked the people who made $100,000, how much would you need to be happy? If we made $125,000, we would be happy. No one's ever content. We always think it's about money. It's not. It's about stewardship. That's why you need to get in Dave Ramsey's class. That's why you gotta break the norm and let God infuse God ideas in a new way of thinking. And you got to renew your mind. See, those type of things become the excuses that become the chains around your neck that we carry from 2017 into 2018. And Scripture says we have to free yourself from the chain around your neck. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this, because so often we pray and pray and pray for God to show up and to do it. Look at the first two words. Can we all read those first two words together on the count of three? One, two, three. Free yourself. Free yourself. The things that have bound you up in 2017, God is saying, hey, Zion, I see you differently than you see yourself. I know the purposes and the plans that I have for your heart. And you know what? You can pray until you're blue in the face for me to come and make you lose your wallet. Lord, help me control my spending. God says, okay, control it. Lord, give me strength to treat my spouse better. Okay, do it. But Lord, they make me so mad. Free yourself, meaning this. God sees you differently than you currently see yourself, and He has not backed off of the promises over your lives, for your lives, to your lives, but we can't settle. We have to shake off the dust. We have to start believing again, reaching again, stepping out in faith again. We have to not be content and settle for anything less than His presence or His power or His Spirit. And we have to stop waiting for someone else to do it for us. Stop waiting for someone else to worship or respond to the word. Stop waiting for someone else to make you walk with God better. Stop waiting for someone else to do what you need done so that you can be free. God says, free yourself. Did you walk in this morning with a spirit of worship? Did you walk in this morning with a heart ready to give God praise and give God glory because He is worthy of all of it? Or did you walk in and you go, you know what, there's a lot of people not here. That means I love Jesus more than a lot of folks. Because I'm here. Listen, being here is not enough. Come on. Did you come in with ears to hear? Because I'm telling you, folks, listen, I got to be careful. I got to be careful. Oh, I maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. Because I can say next Sunday, oh, that was last year. That was last year. Listen, people get hung up sometimes over the most foolish. I can't worship. They didn't sing my favorite song. Pastor, you preached and you talked about married people, but I'm a teenager and you didn't say anything about teenagers. Or you didn't say God loves singles. I said, well, like I said, God loves everybody. Yeah, but the problem isn't what I said. The problem is the maturity of the ears that are hearing. Paul says, you can't live on milk your whole life. You need to take meat. That's the only meat that's going to be allowed in the next 21 days. The spiritual meat. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be rough or mean or anything. But we come up with some of the most lame, ridiculous, pathetic excuses for not obeying, for not stepping out, for not breaking free when God says we could be free. God says, break the chains. God says, shake off the dust. You have to shake off the dust. And we begin to see things the way that God sees them. Galatians 1:5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let what? Yourself. Yourself. You. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Do not let yourselves. You may be tempted to. The enemy may try to trap you, but you do not have to let yourself do those things. You might find yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time, but you don't have to give in. You don't have to let the dust settle in your life again. And the thing, guys, is this. God will not let you cheat on this test. You have to shake off the dust. You have to free yourself from the chains. And so one of the things that we need to recognize is that we're dealing with is the spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. I love that. We will be. Now, here's we take that, and you know what? When we see somebody else doing wrong, whoo, man, we're like the moral police. And there's something about going to your brother or your sister in love. When I hear this, we will be ready, I think that's in my own life. When I start seeing myself shift a little bit, when I start seeing myself, I got to go, whoa, 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 uh-uh. Not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to talk that way. I'm not going to live that way. Because you know what? That's how we end up in captivity, Jerusalem. When God looks at me and He says, Zion. When God speaks value into my life. When God says, you are the place that I want my spirit to dwell. I'm not trading that for that. Any place a stronghold, it causes your opinions, your perceptions to be locked down by tradition or personal challenge or old habits, is a place that you need to cast down the imaginations and allow your mind to be renewed. We need to shake the dust off to the way we think and break the chains to the way that we think and allow our minds to be renewed. And verse 5 challenges us to take every thought captive, and anything that's not captive is loose, is wild. Is running amok. We have to go out, take them captive, round them up, bring them into an enclosed place where they can no longer run wild. Because if you don't bring a crazy thought captive, it will work on your mind and then it will have its way in and through your actions. That's why Scripture says, be careful what you dwell on. Be careful what you dwell on. And a perfect example is that. Have you ever... You're driving to work and you know you're going to see someone and this person's kind of irritated you and you kind of start in your mind having a conversation with someone. I know I'm not the only one to do this because I've seen some of you talking in your car. All right. So you start having this conversation and you ever get into an argument with them and they're not even there. It's just you driving and you're arguing. I say this, then they say that, and then I'm going to say this. And I know what you did the other day. And you get so, by the time you see them, you're angry. You're literally angry at them and they haven't said or done anything because you've had this whole conversation in your mind. That's the power of thought. God says, you got to renew this. And here's the thing, you'll be convinced by that thought. And no amount of reasoning or instruction can influence your thoughts because it's bound. Some of you may have experienced this. People may have come to you and you said, here's what's going on in my life. And they give you godly advice. And your reaction to it is, yeah, but you just don't understand. That's a bound mind. That's a chained life. There's dust that is settled in your spiritual ears. You have a stronghold and that is a chain, but there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain and to break every stronghold. And we have to remember who we are in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And it's as we step out in faith, as we take action through obedience, as we shake off the dust, that we begin to move in a spiritual power that pours out into our physical. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's the first word again? I. God says, shake off your dust. Take off your chain. God says, you can do it through me. Not just some things, all things. That there's not a chain that binds you can stay there because the power of God is within you. There's not a mindset that can stay there because the presence of God is within you. And even though you may see your life differently than God sees you, He says, Zion, son, daughter, shake off the dust, take off the chain. He says, I realize you're captive, but if you listen to me, you won't be. Because that's what the power and the presence of God can do. You don't have to think the way you think and you don't have to react the way you've been reacting. You don't have to see yourself as a victim, but see yourself in the way that God sees you. You don't have to let those emotions control you. You don't have to sit in the dust that you've been sitting in. God is saying that you don't have to settle. There's more. There's freedom. There is power. Break the chains. Break the chains. In Acts 12, Herod had caught some followers of Christ, James, the brother of John, and he had him killed. The scripture says that when Herod saw that the Jews were pleased with what he had done, that day leadership was so volatile that you had to make sure the crowd was happy because the crowd just one day could take over. And so he saw, hey man, they liked when I killed a Jesus follower. Let me do more of that. And so he captures Peter. Peter is kind of one of the bigwigs of the church at the time. So he has Peter arrested. He put him in prison. It was a festival of unleavened bread. So Herod says, after this festival is done, I'm going to give him a public trial and we're going to kill him. And it says this, verses 4 and 5. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers. So 16 soldiers guarding one man. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in a prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So Peter is sleeping, bound in chains. An angel of the Lord appears. I love this. Kicks him in the side. God don't play. All right? God doesn't play. You know, I've learned when I have to get one of my kids up and I send one of my other kids to do it, I always say, hey, can you go wake up so-and-so and be nice? You just have to prep. Because if you don't do it, kids jump on them. And they get all angelic, you know. That's when the angel kicks him in the side, tells him to get up, okay? Again, action. Opportunity to move in obedience. You this morning, I have a different life for you. I have a free life for you. One that's not chained and one that's not dusty. But will you obey? He kicks him in the side, tells him to wake up. Opportunity to move in obedience. The chains fall off. Response to moving in God's power. See, you want to be free today. You're not going to find freedom without obedience. You're not going to find a new way of thinking without obedience. You can't move and stay the same place. It doesn't work like that. There are no chains that God cannot break. All right? 8 and 9. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Here's the thing. Peter felt like it was a dream. When you think about your marriage being different, does it seem like a dream? When you think about your financial position being different, does it feel like it's just a pie in the sky thought? When you're going through the check in the grocery store and you've mentally had to count because you only have so much you can spend. And you think, oh, what would it be like one day to just get what I need and not have to worry about how much and just pay it at the end? It's like a dream. One day, out there, over the rainbow. Serious. We close our eyes and we think, you know, one day I'm going to have a wife. I'm going to be a husband. It's going to be awesome. And you see it in your dream. And then you hear this voice say, take out the garbage. And you wake up. You ever dream about things being different and then you wake up again to reality? When I was young, I wanted a Kawasaki 80. And it was a mini bike. And lime green. It was the coolest looking thing. And I had gone to a dealership. We were in Richmond and the store beside a store. And I had gone over and I got this flyer. And I just had it all year. I was so excited. Mom, that is all I want. It's all I want. Wes, it's too much. We're not going to buy that. We could barely keep you alive on a Huffy. You know, we're not going to give you a motorcycle. And but guys, it'll be different, you know. And so I had to, and literally one night I dreamed that for Christmas they gave me this Kawasaki. Had the number plate 80 on it. I mean, it was just the cool thing. I woke up the morning and I was so convinced that it was real. I got dressed and I went out to the barn where we had put it. And I'm running and I'm looking around for this motor. I'm like, Mom, where's the... She goes, what are you talking about? And I'm like... And then it hit me. It was just a dream. Really? You ever had a dream about someone that someone did something to you and the next morning you wake up and they're mad at you? Well, I've had that experience. I don't know what my wife dreamed, but apparently it wasn't good. And the next morning, I'm like, good morning, babe. She's like, don't even talk to me. I'm like, what? You know what you did. I'm like, actually, I don't. I'm very confused, you know. Yeah. Seems like a dream. Seems like it'll be a dream. Peter felt like it was a dream. He kind of in his mind was kind of getting to the place that it was looking pretty grim. Surrounded by 16 soldiers. I'm in the innermost prison. As soon as the festival is over, I got a guy in leadership here who's discovered killing Christians makes the crowd happy and they're going to kill me. And looking around at his situation, looking around at his reality, it looked bad. And so when the angel shows up and kicks him in the side and says, get up, get dressed, we're getting out of here, and doors are opening and they're just making their way out, it felt like a dream, because that's what we think. We think our lives different. We think our lives unchained. We think our lives not covered in dust. Just feels like I'm just going to wake up to reality. 16 soldiers around him. Peter's probably going to die, but God shows up with his power. And Peter responded in obedience and he got up quickly and he followed the angel to freedom. You see, every chain broken, every prison door open. Verse 11 says, when Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. You see, when we're willing to act or to move or to shake off the dust and move in obedience, there are things that will feel like a dream that become reality in your life because of the power of God. But we can't just hear the truth. We've got to do the truth. We've got to respond to the truth. Without truth, we'll look at the physical reality and we'll settle. We'll believe the physical more than we will the power of God. John 8:32, you will then know the truth and the truth will set you free. We have to stop believing the lies that you tell yourself that got you chained up. We have to stop believing the lies of the enemy in our lives that tell us to settle. It's just the way it is. This is what your marriage is going to be. This is what the single life is going to be. This is what your high school years are going to be. This is what your finances are going to be. It just is what it is. You've got to stop believing the lie of the enemy and begin to listen to what God is speaking over you. What God is calling you. There is no adversary. There is no stronghold that can't be torn down in the name of Jesus Christ. God knows truth so that you can fight the lies of the enemy. Now my last thought, I'm going to be wrapping up with this. We're going to get you out of here. And it might sound a little odd, but hear me out. You've got to be willing to be free, healed, and made whole. You've got to be willing. In John chapter 5, there's a man who's laying by the pool of Bethesda. He's laid there for 38 years. 38 years of his life. He is laid by this pool. And the angel every once in a while would come down and stir the waters. And the first person into the waters, after the waters were stirred, would be healed and would be able to the full restoration. It was a miracle of God. Amazing thing. For 38 years, this guy laid there. For 38 years, he was always number 2, number 4, number 8. He was never the first one in the pool. Jesus comes up to him and you know, his excuse was always other people. Jesus comes up and starts to talk to him and he says, listen, why haven't you gotten in the water then? Well, other people. Someone always beats me in. I'm not able to get in as fast as other people are. His excuses were always about other people. Listen, you have chains that hold you down and back, and it's so easy to blame someone else. It wasn't for this, it wasn't for that. If they hadn't said this, I wouldn't feel this way. If they hadn't hurt me, I wouldn't have turned into this. Jesus looks at the man, and what an odd question. He says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? That is what I want to close with. For everybody who's ever felt caught, for everyone who's ever felt trapped, for everyone who's ever felt chained, for everyone who has ever felt that life is what it is and the dust has settled and you've had things in your life that you hoped for, believed for, wanted to see happen, but that you just thought it's like a dream out there and you've settled down and the dust has settled around you. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be free? Are you willing to stop pointing fingers at others and respond in obedience and have every chain broken? And I know it feels just like a dream. It's hard to imagine our lives being different, feeling different. And I get that. I get it. I get it. But I know what God says. He says, shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion. Now a captive. God sees you. God sees your current situation. Take action. Shake off the dust and take the chains from your neck. And let's walk into 2018 free. Amen. Let's walk into 2018 having left behind what needs to be left behind. And step into what is new. And step into what is ready. Step into what is full of the promises of God that are yea and amen to those that believe. And let's receive what God has for your life. Amen.